Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of state. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a stand, baby, me and you. And it is Friday. Thanks for tuning in to Out There today. What do I have for today's show? I've been drawing a big blank all week long, maybe because I've just been hauling trash.
Nope.
But usually that.
Sorry.
You know, you get stories. That,
introduction anyway, to the show went real fast. And I was supposed to, I thought I was going to have another PSA. Well, in that case, I will play a PSA and I'll be right back to be a little more prepared for Out There.
Grow Food Northampton helps you make the local food system better. This is Michael Skillicorn, Director of Programs. You can join us by shopping at Northampton Tuesday Market, getting a plot at our community garden in Florence, buying a farm share at Crimson and Clover or Sawmill Herb Farm. You can volunteer with us in our giving garden or participate in our neighborhood markets that bring the local food movement to underserved communities in Northampton. Get involved and support our work at growfoodnorthampton.com. Y hablamos español. Pregunte por Mike.
Well, it was quite the thunderstorm yesterday, Ben. Where were you?
I was at the CSO office building on Atwood Drive in Northampton. And I was in a session. And the storm, you know, started up, and you could, at one point, you could just barely see out the window. So I was like checking it out of the corner of my eye, you know, still staying focused on my client, though. I was in there doing a session, you know, I'm a therapist. And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw a bolt of lightning hit right down by these trees across the parking lot at the Atwood site, and heard the immediate just boom, you know, and like the office lit up. And like I jumped up, I said, whoa, like right in the middle of the session, you know, I was like, whoa. And my client just kept on talking. He didn't even like change. He didn't barely like paused. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I did that. Like that was, you know, that was kind of scary. Like he was like, yeah, no, that was a big bolt of lightning. And I went out there today and there was a tree with a big gash, like all the way down. And I mean, the tree is like, I don't know how tall, like 25 feet, maybe, I guess, you know, and it's got a gash all the way down the side, like probably 4 inches deep. You can see this red inner bark on the tree, and there's all these huge splinters, like, all over that part of the parking lot. Like, some of them are, like, 3 or 4 feet long, like, 3 inches wide. It's pretty intense.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was my housemate, Ben Ross. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Sorry for that stumbling, bumbling transition there. I was expecting my show promo to play. Well, I was expecting some other promos, PSAs or something to play, and not my show promo at the top of the hour. Because I was like, as you may have noticed, if you tuned in at the top of the hour, I was about a minute and a half late to the game. But now I'm here. I'm Ruthie. This is Out There. Out There airs Fridays from 4 to 5 on Valley Free Radio. And thank you, Ben Ross, my housemate, for bailing me out with that little story while I finished getting prepared for today's show. What else for today's show? Well, I might just kind of go chronological with the clips that I've got. I got just, I don't know, lots of little clips here and there, like I did last week from around town during the week. I guess the feature clip would be the longest clip I have. That's about 12 minutes long. Is with Luke, this guy named Luke, who was a traveling cyclist. We met through the Warm Showers Hospitality Network, and Luke stayed with us one night this week, and I interviewed him about his trips. When I just edited that clip from Luke, the name of the clip says Lukewarm Showers. But we'll get to that later. So today, according to the calendar, is the 26th of July, 2024. And I think I have a lingering 37-second clip that I didn't play last week. Well, I'm doing a pedal people pick up right near downtown. And I had to make it quick because the string trimmer, the leaf blower, and the lawnmower were all going all at the same time. Two guys, three machines. And I just want to say to people, it doesn't have to be like this. Like in my yard, we just use a scythe.
That's the lawnmower that's just idling while they come and leaf blow, or leaf grass blow, everything else.
Train of thought. I'm doing my pedal people route and thinking about how I'm hopefully going for a bike ride with a friend tomorrow, which reminded me of telling a story on stage at the Academy of Music, the Waldo story. And then it reminded me of how nervous I was, but then remembering how when I was 24, I actually did a lot of public speaking when I was 24, 25, when I got out of prison after doing 6 months for protesting the School of the Americas. And then I kind of like went, the organization School of the Americas Watch had some of the people, there were 25 people in my group that each did 6 months in prison for nonviolent trespass misdemeanor, federal prison. But when we got out, the group, the advocacy group organized or encouraged us to speak about our experience and what the U.S. Army Training School, called WINSIC now, at Fort Benning, Georgia, where they train Latin American soldiers. We went on like a speaking tour. So I did do a lot of public speaking then, and I don't remember being as nervous back then as I feel like I am these days. And I'm thinking about how feeling like, oh yep, like the classic progression. I feel like my brain is shrinking the older I get. And I was thinking, you know, people have said, you know, maybe you should do like a public speaking training. You could be better if you had a little, you know, a little training or class. And then I'm like, yeah, oh, I could be better at identifying trees if I studied that a little bit more. I could be better at like nonviolent communication if I took a course in that. What about like meditation if I practiced that? Oh, I could be better at so many things if I just worked a little harder or did a little more. I could be better at everything if I just studied and trained in every little thing. Think of how much better I could be in every little way. And I thought, well, what I'm good at is life and living a free life. And I'm thinking about my 19-year-old nephew who just went off to his first year of college, about to go off to his second year of college, and he's trying to figure out how to pay for college. He's studying computer science, how to, you know, create a life, like what if he wants to have a family and how to support them and all that. And I'm thinking, they don't really teach you how to live a free life, I don't feel like, in school often. Like for me, a free life, that means being in charge of my own schedule, not having to jump when someone else says jump, staying out of debt, figuring out how to live without a credit card or car or real cell phone or things like that. How to make connections and meet people and figure out what your skills are, what you can offer, so that you offer people something that they want, and in exchange they're happy to try and help meet your needs for food and shelter and things like that. Some people will live in the money economy. Many people will, but not everyone has to. There are a lot of people who are trapped in the money economy who are really happy to have people who don't have those trappings, but if they have practical skills and a joy for living that they can bring, then people in the money economy are often happy to share. Now, it's easy to say these things living in Northampton. If I were living in Bell County, Kentucky, where I'm from, where the per capita income average is one-third of what it is in Northampton, I might have to hustle up a little money myself differently. Maybe. Well, anyway, my perspective might be a little bit different, but I think the basis might be similar. Biking through Holyoke by Pexkill, here's a yard sign that says, New England, run for the fallen. A tribute to New England's military fallen heroes and their families. 3 days, 140 miles. Cushman Park, Bernardston, Massachusetts to Fort McLary, Kittery Point, Maine. New England, run for the fallen.org. Volunteer, run, donate, engage. 3 days, 140 miles. It doesn't say what the date is. I'll have to look that up. It's my lucky day.
I'm waiting for the bus here in Holyoke on the corner of Route 5 and Lincoln Street. And there's a pile of empty plastic totes, and they include two Rubbermaid Roughneck, the kind that pedal people uses on the trailers. Well, one's the kind we use on most of the trailers, and the other is the kind that fits specifically on trailer 4 that I use, the extra large 31-gallon, which yesterday, literally, I decided I cannot use this cracked up, beat up tub any longer. And voila, here it is. Hopefully they'll let me on the PVTA with a 31-gallon tote. And my bicycle.
Alright, that was some clips there, listeners. Thanks for listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Time for a song. This is Katy Perry. Next on Out There, we have Luke.
It's Wednesday, July 24th, 2024, and I'm sitting at the table of 8 High Street. Our guest tonight is...
Luke.
What are you doing at the 8 High Street dinner table, Luke?
I'm just enjoyed a nice dinner brought to you by Ruthie from Pedal People, and I found Ruthie via Warm Showers, which is a community of bicycle tourists, both travelers and hosts, that works on paying it forward and staying with hosts. And so I've been traveling for 6 months and biking up from New York City to New Hampshire, and that's how I'm here.
So I got your email this morning saying, hey, can I stay tonight? Well, you sent it to me yesterday, but I don't check my email every day necessarily. And I was like, oh, a traveling cyclist. Great. Yes, stay. And tell us stories. where are you going from to again? Sorry.
I'm going to my parents' house in Hampton, New Hampshire, which is on the sea coast, the 7 or 8 miles of New Hampshire that touches the Atlantic Ocean.
So I followed the Hudson River up on bike paths mostly, and then started heading east through eastern New York and crossed into Massachusetts today over the Berkshires, which were very hilly but very beautiful. And I'm now in Northampton.
So how many days from New York City to Hampton,
mm-hmm.
New Hampshire?
Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, it's been, let's see, one day to Beacon, which is on the Hudson, and I just camped out at a park on the river underneath an awning and some picnic tables because it downpoured rain. And then, day two was from there to Copaic, New York, where I stayed with a warm shower host who graciously let me stay in their house and a warm bed and a warm shower. And now this is day three. I biked from Copaic to Northampton. And then day four will be tomorrow to Acton to stay with some friends. And then day five will probably be make it to Hampton. So 5 days for me.
So biking out of New York City, heading up the Hudson, how much of your travels was on a off-road path?
I would say 50% of it. I started in Brooklyn, and once you get over the Manhattan Bridge into Manhattan, there's a bike path that goes along the Hudson. It's protected, a lot of cyclists. And then you cross over the George Washington Bridge, which is, again, protected cycle lane. And then you start going on, they call it Route 9. And there's a cycle path that goes along the cliffs, along the Palisades, which are the cliffs that are above the Hudson. And I saw about maybe two cars the whole time. And then there are also some gravel and some dirt paths that are right near the water on the Hudson, so I was kind of halfway up. And I met some fellow cyclists on the road just out for day rides, and they showed me some shortcuts in the woods and on some trails. And then you usually sometimes pop out on Route 9, which has some cars on it, but it's not too busy. And then, let's see... Let me pause for a sec to think. So after my first day, I made it to Beacon. I did go on roads that had cars on them. But then I found this rail trail near Millbrook that goes north up to Copaic. And that was totally protected in the forest, just an old rail trail. And then today from Copaic, I took all roads that had cars on them, but they had bicycle signs on the road, and it had signs that says give cyclists 4 feet of space and kind of scenic byways sort of thing. So it wasn't too bad with cars, but you do have to deal with them sometimes.
How were you navigating or finding these routes?
Oh, great question. So usually I will just pull up Google Maps on my phone, and I will look at the physical map, and I won't specifically click directions, because I found that when you hit directions on Google Map, on bike directions, it'll route you the quickest way, but it'll route you sometimes through some pretty gnarly terrain. And that's what happened for me today, is I got into some trails around Huntington, Massachusetts, and it was basically stream beds with rocks and cobble.
And you have a bike with all your camping gear and travel gear on it, right?
Yes, I have a very heavy bike with some road tires. And it was one of those moments where you just kind of had to accept that you are committing to this. And I had to walk my bike through some muddy water and some big rocks. But, you know, that's kind of the adventure of it. And that's how I learned that you should not always trust Google Map directions for bikes.
How have you had any, how have interactions with motorists been?
So far, very good. Since I've been traveling for 6 months in foreign countries, it has been amazing, the kindness and the happy honks and the cheering on. And I even got one today, a thumbs up out the window. But actually today I had my first negative encounter with a motorist. There was a van that passed me really close and really fast and kind of laid on the horn. But I think the best thing to do is to just wave or just smile and really not react to any sort of anger or negativity and just keep on pedaling.
What stories do you tell yourself about the person that may have been aggressive?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking about how humans are wired to like react to things, and when someone reacts to you really with anger, you want to say no, like, you know, screw you, like, screw you too, you know, and you kind of get defensive and you get angry yourself, and then it doesn't really feel that great and it might ruin your day. But the interesting part of that is I think a lot of times when people such as this motorist react with anger and they lash out, it usually is coming from their own personal struggles and their own fears and their own angst, and they're reacting to that by lashing out. Because I thought if someone's really happy and positive and content with themselves, and if you're like that, if you're a person like that, you just want to spread love and joy and be nice to people. You know, you want to go out of your way to help people because you feel good and you want to spread that. So usually when people lash out, that they're not feeling good and they're feeling bad. So, you know, it's there's really no point in making them feel worse and then also making yourself feel bad for lashing out in reaction to that. But it's a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah. Especially when your life is being put at risk.
Yeah, it totally. And again, it's a very hard thing to do. And, you know, you kind of just react how you're going to react. And that's kind of it.
You got to practice. You got to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having practice. The reaction that you want.
Right. And you have to remain calm, you know, not not almost sink down to a lower level. You got to keep it up.
So you started biking 6 months ago in Chile, right?
Yes.
Did you speak Spanish at the time?
Very little, un poco. But as I was traveling down there, I just learned the necessary phrases like I want, quiero, I have, tengo, and you can just turn those into questions like do you have, tienes, and necesito, like I need. So basically just you're very direct, you learn how to be very direct and you learn the things that you need or you want. And so I learned basic Spanish to get by, to be able to ask someone where something is, or like where to camp tonight, where can I camp, and you know, where, when, why, how. And after you know a few weeks, you feel pretty confident and you know what the answers are usually going to come by. But you know, it's okay if you don't understand. People are really receptive to a non-Spanish speaker at least trying to speak Spanish. Yeah. And usually they might try to speak a little English, but either way, you know, it's, you can get your point across. Yeah. with using your hands or Google Translate is also a wonderful thing.
So after 6 months biking in Chile and in Europe, your bike trip is about to come to an end in like a couple days. Your bike travels, right? How are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling very excited and very glad to be done. I think you reach a certain point where you're just totally over it and it sucks and you just don't want to do it anymore. But the end is always the hardest, in any sort of journey mm. or struggle, because you see the barn doors open, per se, yeah. and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and so it's the easiest to quit, but if you push through that and you just say, I was telling myself, I don't want to do this, I just have to do it, and just keeping that mentality going and just making it work for whatever your circumstances are can really make all the difference in your attitude towards life and how you kind of just take life after that. Because everything, if you can get through that challenge and get through that last part, like, you'll be amazed how many things that were once seemed like such a difficult mm-hmm. struggle that you couldn't mm-hmm. overcome now mm-hmm. seem really easy to overcome mm-hmm. and they're not such a big deal.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing, Luke.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Good luck on the rest of your, the little tiny bit, rest of your journey.
Yeah.
and the rest of your life journey.
Thanks, Ruthie. Thanks for having me.
That was Luke, I don't know his last name, Luke Warm Showers, from the Warm Showers Traveling Cyclist Network. This stayed at our house at the Flow Up this week. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. After this, I think it's time for a bike song. I was looking for a different one. All right. This is, yes, we'll play Katie Malua. But not right now. So what next on Out There? Sorry for my stumbling bumblingness. I guess I'll play another little clip. Also this week, I ran into Susan Stinson.
It's Monday, July 22nd, 2024. I'm supposed to be at Monday Night Potluck, but I had to go run an errand. And I saw Susan sitting here on the bench by Florence Bank. What are you doing, Susan?
I'm reading a story in The New Yorker about a town's elephant.
This isn't the first time I've seen you with your vehicle on the rail trail or sitting around town doing some... What are you doing when I see you around town?
A lot of times, if I'm sitting around, I'm either reading or writing. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite spots or the secrets?
I know, I was thinking about that. I was like, yes, I do have favorite spots, but will I mention them? I really like the picnic tables by the Coolidge Bridge. Mm. And there's some benches by the river in Look Park that I really like. Mm-hmm. And some of those big, there's like big kind of rocks. I don't know how to say where they are, but along the trail that are nice sometimes too.
The ones by the cement plant or on the other end, like towards Damon Road?
You know, I've everywhere. Both of them, right?
And the ones on the way out to East Hampton, there's ones around. Well, this is particularly timely for me because my house holds, we had a meeting with some neighbors of 6 and 8 High Street and the bike path bench area. Because sometimes people congregate at the picnic table that we have there, and sometimes they congregate loudly right. and rudely.
Right.
And so Alex is like, well, part of the problem is there's not a whole lot of places that you can sit, especially not picnic tables, that you can sit.
So. Yeah. I mean, there used to be a picnic table that I really loved under that tree,
yeah.
and they took it away, and I think it was because... like teenagers were congregating loudly there, which made me really sad because, I mean, I also sat there.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, that was kind of one of the proposals from some of the neighbors was like, well,
get
if
rid
you
of
take
it.
Away the picnic table, then they won't congregate there.
If more people used it.
That's the other thing. Like when we were having our meeting there this afternoon, there was maybe 8 of us. And I think a couple of people walk by with their 40 ounces in hand and like, well, I guess I'm not stopping there.
Right.
It's occupied now.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything more about the joys of chilling?
I mean, I live in a second floor apartment. People cook underneath me in the summer. It gets really hot. But if I go outside and then it's lovely. People come by, you know, the trees move, the air moves, and I'm in common public space. I mean, that's a joy in and of itself, so.
Great.
Are you working on any particular writings right now that you want to share?
Oh, I've been working on the same book for really a long time, more than 10 years, but I just read at a science fiction fantasy conference in Quincy outside Boston, and I finally got this character going into the water and turning into a lamprey, and it was a thrill. So I have a long ways to go, but I got that to happen.
All right, well, we'll lie in wait. Thanks, Susan.
Sure.
And that was Susan Stinson, a local author and three-wheeled biker around town. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, and this is Katie Malua. Coming up.
It's a thing we can't deny, like the fact that I will love you till I die. We are 12 billion light years from the edge, that's a guess. No one can ever say it's true, but I know that I will always be with you. I'm warm by the fire of your love every day. So don't call me a liar, just believe everything that I say. There are 6 billion people in the world, more or less, and it makes me feel quite small, but you're the one I love.
Thanks for listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Out There airs Fridays from 4 until 5, followed by Democracy Now at 5 o'clock. And yes.
Okay. Me dio una siringa un domingo a la mañana cuando menos lo pensaba. Caí redondo como una guanábana sobre la alcantarilla. ¿Será la presión o me ha subido la bilirrubina? Y me entró una calentura y me fui poniendo blanco como bola en naftalina. Me llevaron a un hospital de gente, supuestamente.
En la emergencia recepcionista escuchaba la lotería. Alguien se apiade de mí, estoy perdiendo el sentido. Y una enfermera se acercó a mi oreja y me dijo, tranquilo vos, tranquilo. Me acarició con sus manos de Bengay y me dijo, ¿qué le pasa, atleta? Y le conté con lujo de detalles lo que me había sucedido. Hay que chequearte la presión, pero la sala está ocupada. Y mi querido, en este hospital no hay luz para un electrocardiograma. Abrí los ojos como luna llena y me agarré la cabeza. Porque es muy duro pasar. No me digan que los médicos se fueron. No me digan que no tienen anestesia. Princesa, y con papel de receta me escribió muy dulcemente, lo siento, atleta. Me acarició con sus manos de Bengay y siguió su destino. Y oí claramente cuando dijo otro paciente, tranquilo, Bobby. Bajé los ojos a media asta y me agarré la cabeza. ¿Por qué es muy duro pasar? No me digan que los médicos se fueron. No me digan que no tienen anestesia.
Juan Luis Guerra with El Niagara en Bicicleta. And that song is about, well, that's an idiom in Dominican Spanish that basically means to overcome a hard situation. Maybe it's an idiom in, or a metaphor in other types of Caribbean Spanish, etc. And you're listening to Out There. The next clip on Out There, I'm your host, Ruthie. Next clip is, we'll hear from Manya. We heard from, Williams College interns.
So it's Thursday, July 25th, 2024. I'm in the yard of the Flow Up. Got company today from Williams College. Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Alex Martone, and I'm the sustainability coordinator at the Zilka Center for the Environment, which is at Williams College. I just want to preface by saying I'm only 2 months into this position, so.
And there's six other people here today, mm-hmm. all working interns, working on different kinds of projects. You want to introduce yourself? Tell me your project.
I'm Mally. I'm one of the garden interns, and we're just maintaining the gardens around the center. So we've been building bed covers to keep the deer out of the raised beds. And this week we're drying tea and herbs to hand out tea. Just growing stuff. It's fun.
I'm Nikhil. I'm a rising sophomore, and I'm the data analyst and air travel intern. So I collect data from across campus, make charts, graphs, do analyses. And I also work on the air travel program, so I calculate the emissions for all the air travel to the college, write a bunch of code for that, send down your emails, interview people. It's a really fun job. I do, like, on field trips as well, like this, so it's been pretty cool.
Perfect. Background noise for your little interview.
Right. I'm Stella. I do sustainable purchasing this summer, and I'm sort of building a guide for people to more sustainably purchase office supplies, specifically through WB Mason. We have no centralized purchasing department at Williams, and so a lot of people are a bit confused about what to do and like how to implement sustainability into purchasing.
My name is Beatrice, and I garden with Molly. And this week, like she said, we are drying herbs and weeding and taking care of the gardens at the Zilka Center.
Hi, I'm Becca. I am a first year engagement intern for the college, working on an orientation program centering environmental justice with our multicultural center. So the program's called Root, and we focus on helping people transition into college by getting grounded into place and space and discovering identity and environmental justice advocacy groups in the area.
I'm a communications intern this summer, and so I guess I just kind of let people know what we're doing. So a lot of it involves like Instagram, social media. I just made a video about like the Zilka Center and everything that happens there, I guess, interviewed staff. And I take a lot of pictures. Yeah, I feel like that's about all I do.
Anybody want to say anything else?
I can explain more about my job. So in this coordinator position, I work mostly with students, which I really enjoy. So I'm supervising Becca and Allison this summer on their projects. But after this internship is over, I'm going to work throughout the academic year, working on like student events and other programming out of our office, which has to do with sustainability in every capacity. And also overseeing more interns that we get throughout the school year.
That was a group of Williams College students, interns from the Zilka Center for the Environment. They had come to Northampton, to Florence yesterday to do a field trip to pedal people. They rode around with me on my pedal people route. Some of them did, while some of them stayed home and at my home and cleaned the rail trail and painted some new rail trail crossing signs. What was I going to say? I can't remember. I can't remember what I was going to say about that. Oh, yes. So this week, Pedal People celebrated 500,000 pickups. That's trash recycling compost pickups that we've done since we started in 2002. A happy time. A happy time for us. Oh yeah, here's Andy Grammer. Sorry, I hadn't previewed that song. I can't play that version of that song. I will play my next clip. This is one from last week, talking about bikes, how much we love bikes and people love bikes. Here's Manya.
Manya, when did you start biking a lot?
I started biking a lot when I moved to Northampton. I think sometime in 2019 or 2020, I started biking a lot.
How come?
I mean, that's when I got my bike.
And then, like, how did your biking change when COVID hit?
Oh, when COVID hit, like I started biking for, suddenly school was closed and I didn't have to go to Amherst. And so I started biking a lot for like recreation, and I started discovering a lot of new places on my bike, and everything was so beautiful. And so, you know, that really encouraged me to bike more and like explore more places. And then I lived with like this wonderful housemate who would like encourage my interests a lot. So when I would tell her, you know, I biked here and it was so beautiful and so on, so she would like suggest more places for me to explore. So every day she would like, she's an old lady and she's a painter, so she's been to all these beautiful places and already painted all these things. So then she would, and she's lived in Northampton like for 40 years, so she knows all the places. So every day she would suggest a new place. And so then I would go exploring on my bike. So then I started biking a lot, like in 2020, and I would like bike long distances. And then like I would get a lot of punctures. But then the bike lab was there, which was super helpful. So then I would go and fix my bike, and then, you know, that really helped me bike a lot because I knew I could always go to the bike lab to fix it if something happened. And then, but then I started biking a little less when I started gardening because I felt like a tied down parent. So I could not like just bike for recreation. It became more than for like just transportation. But yeah, so, but now I do like, I do try to also bike for recreation, but I think I've lost that a little bit.
How do you feel about hills?
When my gears are working, I love hills. Oh, but like, I also bike for like, I mean, one of the main reasons I bike is just for the downhill, you know? It's so nice. And I just don't like to stop pedaling when I'm downhill. I like to go as fast as I can. Like, I just love speed.
Are you a fast cyclist?
I'm a very fast cyclist, and especially in my mind, I'm like an elite athlete. Even though my friend Ruthie here may not agree with me, she's laughing, but in my head, I'm an elite athlete.
When I see you, you're biking fast usually. You are, yeah, in my judgment, Yeah,
I do like to bike fast. And sometimes I feel like actually I'm a very good cyclist, but often my cycle is not in good condition. But if I had like a cycle in good condition, I feel like, you know, I would be much better. Like if I had a road bike with air and like, you know, like oiled and stuff, I would go like 10 times faster. But usually I'm like this elite athlete on a clunky bicycle. Yeah.
Cool, thanks.
That was Manya. Thanks, Manya, for sharing your love of bikes and biking. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie. It's tomorrow, Saturday, there will not be official bike lab, but I'm pretty sure I will be there at least from 12:30 to 2, probably, to meet with some people. Anyway, if you need bike lab help tomorrow, text me, call me. My number's on the website, the Pedal People Bike Lab website. Also known as 413-341-2522. Don't everybody text me at once. And what else this weekend? Today's Friday, July 26th. Like almost all Fridays between April and November and even more. At 6 p.m. Ultimate Frisbee Pickup in Haydenville on Fairfield Ave. Also, I think there's a standout for Palestine at the Rotary, like there have been for many Fridays for the last many months. I'm not entirely sure about that. Oh, here's something coming up. July 27th and 28th, that's Saturday and Sunday. There's the 2024 Massachusetts Solidarity Economy Festival and Gathering in Boston, the Dudley Street neighborhood, at the Dudley Street Neighborhood Initiative. Calling all solidarity economy and co-op organizers, activators, practitioners, and allies across Massachusetts. For a third year, the Massachusetts Solidarity Economy Network and Coalition for Worker Ownership and Power are co-organizing a two-day gathering to celebrate, learn, strategize, and build together. This year, we're going to be in Boston. And the theme is land and housing. It's increasingly clear that taking land and housing out of the speculative market and into community control is a critical part of building the solidarity economy and addressing the housing crisis. We're very excited that the inspirational Dudley Street Neighborhood Initiative, its community land trust, will be hosting us on Saturday and Sunday. There's a tour of the Dudley Street Neighborhood Initiative and the Community Land Trust. You can find out more information at look up 2024 Massachusetts Solidarity Economy Festival and Gathering. Also, oh, here's something coming up in September. The 2024 Worker Co-op Conference is happening in Chicago, September 12th through 14th. I think some of my pedal people co-workers might be going. I'm going to Chicago in late September, early October. I don't know if I'm going to make it the 12th to the 14th. What else coming up? Also coming up on my list of announcements. What is today? Tomorrow, Saturday, the 27th. There is at Great Falls, also known as Turner Falls, community storytelling and fundraiser. That's Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. Liberation Playbook Theater Company for a community storytelling fundraiser. Join Liberation Playback Theater Company for a community storytelling fundraiser. All donations go to Mohawk Falafel and Shawarma Food Truck. And July 27th in Springfield, 5:30 p.m., a Palestine film series called My Neighborhood. And lots of things going on. I don't want to overwhelm you, but looking at the checking out the world, the trees, the plants, that's great. I'm babbling. So let's hear from Buffy St. Marie, one of my favorites. I always like to hear Buffy.
Sickened. Many poor men lied. Many sick men lied. Magic never weakened. Magic never hid. Magic always ruled. God is afoot. God never died. God was ruler, though his funeral lengthened, though his mourners thickened. Magic never fled. Though his shrouds were hoisted, the naked god did live. Though his words were twisted, the naked magic thrived. Though his death was published round and round the world, the heart did not believe. Many hurt men wondered, many struck men bled. Magic never faltered, magic always led. Many stones were rolled, but God would not lie down. Many wild men lied, many fat men listened. Though they offered stones, magic still was fed. Though they locked their coffers, God was always served. Magic is afoot, God rules. Alive is afoot, alive is in command. Many weak men hungered, many strong men thrived. Though they boasted solitude, God was at their side. Nor the dreamer in his cell, nor the captain on the hill. Magic is alive. Though his death was pardoned, round and round the world, the heart would not believe. Though laws were carved in marble, they could not shelter men. Though altars built in parliaments, they could not order men. Police arrested magic, and magic went with them. For magic loves the hungry. But magic would not tarry. It moves from arm to arm. It would not stay with them. Magic is afoot. It cannot come to harm. It rests in an empty palm. It spawns in an empty mind, but magic is no instrument. Magic is the end. Many men drove magic, but magic stayed behind. Many strong men lied. They only passed through magic and out the other side. Many weak men lied. They came to God in secret, and though they left him nourished, they would not tell who healed. Though mountains danced before them, they said that God was dead. Though his shrouds were hoisted, the naked God did live. This I mean to whisper to my mind. This I mean to laugh with in my mind. This I mean my mind to serve till service is but magic moving through the world, and mind itself is magic coursing through the flesh, and flesh itself is magic dancing on a clock, and time itself the magic length of God.
Thanks for tuning in to Out There Today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. After that, there is Civil Politics at 6, followed by Kicking It Worldwide at 7, Subculture at 8, and Table of Contents at 10.
You're listening to Valley Free Radio 103.3 FM WXO JLP at Northampton.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We cannot look away in the face of these tragedies. We cannot allow ourselves to become numb to the suffering, and I will not be silent.
Vice President and Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris meets privately with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after skipping his joint address to Congress.